Welcome to 9to5 Mac Watch Time, a podcast series exploring the world of Apple Watch and how it's changing people's lives. I'm your host, Zach Hall, and this week we're kicking off the second solo episode ever after positive response from the race recap episode last November. This will be the first of many solo episodes to come in 2020, although we'll continue inviting great guests to tell their amazing Apple Watch stories on the show throughout the year. This week I want to talk about a few Apple Watch stories that I discovered this month that aren't necessarily fitness related, but do show how the Apple Watch is taking on the role of a silent health guardian, whether or not you realize it. We'll also talk about my season of testing Apple Watch Series 5 battery life across three different half marathon runs using different modes and features. And finally, we'll catch up with the current Apple Watch activity challenge ring in the new year, and I'll share some of what I hope to accomplish in 2020. But first, let me thank our 9to5 Mac Watch Time sponsor this week, Fitiv. Stay tuned for a special offer from Fitiv later in the show. Okay, so the first story on the list this week is titled Apple Watch Fall Detection Sends Paramedics to the Rescue When San Francisco E-Biker Is Hit by a Car. And so E-Biker, he's on an electric bike rather than a traditional bike. It's really an amazing story where the Apple Watch feature of fall detection comes in handy when you least expect it. And so the Apple Watch fall detection feature, before we get into the story, a little bit of background there. The fall detection feature, it detects sudden falls automatically once enabled and gives you an alert that asks if you're okay. And you've got 1 minute to respond to the alert and to dismiss it and let the Apple Watch know that you are okay. And the idea there is that you haven't passed out. You're not unconscious. If you are unconscious, the Apple Watch, after 1 minute, when you don't respond to the alert and dismiss it, will automatically call emergency services if you have a cellular Apple Watch, even if there's no plan for service, or if your Apple Watch is near your iPhone, and so it can use the iPhone for the call. And so in the United States, that means it will call 911, and the Apple Watch will communicate with the emergency calling feature that someone, you, is located where you are with and that you experienced a fall and you're unresponsive. And so then the people on the other end of the phone call, and the emergency call, can come to you and without you even being conscious. So it's really cool. The other thing that it does is if you have an emergency contact designated, the Apple Watch will send a message alerting your emergency contact that you've experienced a fall, you're unresponsive, and it will send your location to that contact. So for example, your partner, your children, someone that you have designated as your emergency contact. So it's really an amazing feature. It was introduced with the Apple Watch Series 4. It's available in the Apple Watch Series 5. And it's one of those features that you can't imagine ever going away from the Apple Watch. It's not on the Apple Watch Series 3 or earlier. So you've got to have a Series 4 or later to have the feature. But if you do have it, it's really cool. There's also a couple of things about it. It's off by default for Apple Watch customers younger than the age 65, and it's on by default if in the Apple Health app on the iPhone, the Apple Watch knows that you are 65 or older. And the reason for that is you can accidentally trigger it, which is not a big deal, because if you do accidentally trigger fall detection, then you see the alert that a fall has been detected, and you've got 1 minute to respond to the alert to dismiss it before your Apple Watch calls 911 or the local equivalent. And so the reason it's off by default for people under 65, however, is because you can accidentally trigger it with things like playing sports. You know, if you're playing football, you're playing basketball, or something that might, you know, literally make you fall over for a moment. The Apple Watch can't distinguish between that type of fall and a fall off of a ladder or a fall from tripping, that kind of thing. So it's off by default. And in those situations, you might not respond to the alert, and so then you've accidentally called emergency services. So it's ideal to be off in those situations. But if you're someone like me who the only time you would fall, even while you're active, is by accident, then it's not a bad idea to turn it on. And we'll talk about how to turn it on in just a little bit. There has been one public case of the fall detection feature making an appearance on accident. This was actually on the James Corden's Late Late Show on CBS, where there was sort of a trivia segment out in the audience, and something happened where a contestant in the audience accidentally triggered fall detection while standing. And this was probably just a physical reaction to being on TV and kind of moving around a bit. And the watch thought that there was a sudden fall that did not occur. And it was noisy and loud. And so you didn't hear the alert until it started calling 911 and it made a siren sound. And so this was caught on video. And we've got a link in the show notes where you can actually watch this happen. And the contestant was a bit embarrassed that it happened, but it was a good place for some good fun. The other thing is I've had, since the Apple Watch Series 4 was introduced a year and a half ago, and I've been wearing a Series 4 or a Series 5 every day, I've had two incidents of the Apple Watch fall detection feature going off when it should have, but it wasn't the situation where I needed it to. And so I'm someone who believes that everyone of any age, most activity levels, should have the feature on just in case. The first incident was at my daughter's 5-year-old birthday party. It was held at a skating rink, and I am not a good skater at all. Balance is not my expertise. I'm fortunate enough that with running, you don't necessarily have to balance that well. It's just keeping your feet off the ground and not walking a tightrope or staying upright on wheels. But I did get some speed and some courage and decided to skate almost as well as she was, at least in my mind. And it only lasted maybe a few seconds because I quickly fell on my butt. And that was embarrassing because there are a lot of kids around and other parents and everything. But it was a funny experience too, because someone said, "Hey, your watch is going off." And I looked at it, and sure enough, it was the fall detection feature. And I had, at that point, about 30 seconds to dismiss the alert before it called 911. But I was okay, so I dismissed the alert. And that was it. It was kind of a cool way to test that feature back with the Series 4, just to say, hey, it does work. That's neat. And I'd never triggered it without actually falling before. And then recently with the Series 5, my niece turned 1 and her birthday party was at an outside playground. And my 6-year-old and 2-year-old were with me, and I decided to play with them on the playground. And my daughter loves monkey bars and doing tricks and things like that with monkey bars. So I decided to show her what I could do. which only lasted a split second because my upper body strength isn't what it ought to be, apparently, because the moment I lifted myself up, I hit the ground face first in a way that triggered fall detection. And, I was conscious and dismissed it, but it was another example of that was actually a fall, sure. And if I wasn't conscious, like say I was riding my bike and, fell off for some reason and was knocked out, which is something that happened to me when I was 12, then this would come in handy. Hey, tell someone that I fell, call emergency services if necessary, they can come out. And, my emergency contact is also notified that I'm somewhere in a situation that I don't want to be in. And that's useful information. But the first story, this is the story we're talking about this week, is it happened to someone named William Bout. And they are a designer based in San Francisco, California. And I came by this story by way of a tweet where they shared their experience with using the Apple Watch in a situation where they did not expect to. And the way that this happened is, I'll just read this for you here. So For most of his fall detection on the Apple Watch is one feature we hope to never need. For William Bout, a designer based in San Francisco, the feature on newer Apple Watches is indispensable. Bout was knocked unconscious when a car hit them during their morning commute to work this week. Fortunately, the Apple Watch fall detection feature kicked in and automatically dialed emergency services to call for help. This is what Bout says. Got hit by a car this morning. This is in a tweet, by the way. Got hit by a car this morning on the way to work. I don't have a lot of memories from the event, but Apple Watch automatically called 911. I was unconscious, and paramedics were there within minutes. Technology truly feels amazing at times. So just, you know, away from the story for a moment, just think about that. You're biking to work, and the way that we know about the biking, the electric bike is that in a future tweet, he sort of reaches out to the company that makes the bike and asks if there's something they could do about the damaged bike, which just gives you a sense of, you know, car getting hit by a car on an electric bike when you're probably riding pretty quickly. It's a pretty serious thing. It's scary. And, you know, you're doing a nice thing by not driving a car. You're on an electric bike. It's just enough for you to get to work. And then this happens. So on the way to work, gets hit by a car, probably doesn't think about the fall detection feature very often, but it has at least turned it on to enable it, which was a good decision. And in this case, they are literally knocked unconscious from being hit by the car. And so much so that there's not recollection of exactly what happened. It's riding to work, blur, and then paramedics are there like helping you out. And that's the kind of thing where if not for the Apple Watch, what would have happened? You know, would the driver stop and help them? Would a pedestrian stop and help them? You know, a lot of what happens we see these days is, you know, it's too bad. But when something happens in a public space, we sort of think that someone else will help that person, that you've got to be on your way. And you even see this like in races that I run where if someone needs to drop out of the race for some reason, you know, some people will keep going, a few will stop and help. And it's sort of this, you know, collective responsibility thing that we all share that messes with us to do that. But, you know, so we don't know what would have happened without the Apple Watch, but we don't have to know because luckily the Apple Watch was there. And then back to the story, a remarkable outcome from a terrifying situation no one ever wants to experience. We wish William a fast recovery and best of luck with the e-bike repair. So again, that's just a really cool feature on the Apple Watch that, you know, maybe you buy it because it's a cool gadget or maybe you buy it because you want to do some fitness tracking that you really wouldn't associate with being hit by a car and calling for help, you know. So that's a really cool feature. And again, if you're under 65, it's turned off by default. If you are 65 or older, it's automatically on as long as the health app knows that you are 65 based on your birthday. And this is what Apple says about emergency calling. So the first thing to know is, as I mentioned before, if you have a cellular Apple Watch, Apple says that it will call 911 or the local equivalent in your country or region, even if you don't have an active cell plan. So if you've got to pay 10, 12 bucks a month for cellular service without your phone, you can still benefit from this feature without that service. It will just, you know, I guess as a courtesy work. And then if you have your iPhone near you, then as always, even if it's not a cellular Apple Watch, it will piggyback on the iPhone service and make that call for you. So the watch tells the phone to make the call and then it goes from there. You could also do these emergency SOS calls by holding on the side button on the Apple Watch. If you squeeze it for 10 seconds, it will call emergency services. Actually, I think it's 5 seconds. You get a countdown and then you hear like a siren blare and then it makes the call for you. And on the iPhone, you can squeeze, I think, the top power button or the top volume button on the left side and the power button on the right side and make that squeeze for a few seconds. And eventually, you know, 5 or 6 seconds or so, it'll make this emergency SOS call for help. So that's a cool thing. And one of the new features, so Series 4 introduces fall detection. Series 5 introduces this feature where it's one of the few features of Series 5, where before there were different models of the Series 4 with different cellular bands in different regions. So if you're in the U.S. and you buy an Apple Watch, your watch is tuned to call 911. But if you're out of the country, say you're in Germany, for example, then the watch might not be able to make that call, even if it knew the 911 equivalent of Germany, because the antennas inside aren't tuned to make that call for you. So with Apple Watch Series 5, they merged different bands together and to have one watch model. So no matter where you are in the world, if you buy a Series 5 Apple Watch with cellular, they all have the same band, which is a combination of the two options that are there. And so a benefit of that change is that if you're in another country or region, you can make that emergency call while traveling abroad because the watch can make the call. So this is what Apple says about that. Apple Watch Series 5 GPS plus cellular can call local emergency services when you're in another country or region. When you start an emergency SOS call while abroad, your watch connects to local emergency services, but it doesn't send your location or text message to emergency contacts. In some countries and regions, emergency calling works even if you haven't set up a cellular service on the watch list. Then you can learn which countries have support. So that's really cool. And then they go on and say, just like when your emergency SOS is in your home country region, your iPhone needs to be nearby if your watch isn't a cellular model. So they don't specify there which countries you'll have the benefit of having calling, even if you don't have a plan. But I guess it's available in some places. So that's really cool. And finally, so if you want to turn on fall detection on your Apple Watch and you're aged, say, 0 to 64, like me, then there's a way to do that. But you've got to opt into it. It's not on by default. The way that you do that is you open the Watch app on your iPhone, scroll down and tap on Emergency Services or Emergency SOS, then toggle on fall detection. And Apple will say that for physically active users, this could be triggered by accident, and high impact activity will likely make it appear as a fall. But then, if you're okay with that, tap confirm, and you never have to think about it again. At least for this Apple Watch, in the future, if you don't do a backup and restore, maybe you need to. So that's something to consider, and it's a really cool feature that isn't necessarily one of the kind of gadget features that come with the watch, but you may need it when you least expect it. The next story is another one that's sort of those Apple Watch Health Guardian features that you don't think about, but it's awesome when they actually work, and when they actually affect your life. So this is a feature where the Apple Watch Model Series 1 and newer can determine that your heart rate's elevated, but you're not actively moving around. You're not experiencing or doing a brisk activity or higher. And so it makes that connection. If you're working out, if you're walking quickly, if you're playing a sport or something, then the watch knows it makes sense for your heart rate to elevate from what it normally is. But if you're, say, sitting down, resting, working at a desk, your heart rate shouldn't reach, triple digit numbers on its own with, out of the ordinary. And so if it hits that beats per minute, elevated beats per minute for a certain amount of time, then it'll hit a threshold that notifies you that you have a higher heart rate than usual, and you may need to check it out. So that's on Apple Watch Series 1 and later. And then Apple Watch Series 4 and 5 and going forward, there's a built-in ECG feature or EKG feature where you can do an electrocardiogram from the Apple Watch to sort of test your heart health and heart rhythm and determine if it is a normal heart rhythm or if it's abnormal. And so this is a story that I discovered from sort of researching Apple Watch, online and trying to find, how people are using it every day in their life. And I may pronounce some terms wrong here and some names wrong here. But I'll do my best I can. So the name of the story is Apple Watch Saves Brazilian Man After Heart Alerts Lead to Life-Threatening Tachycardia Diagnosis. Bear with me. And in this story, my wife, Kelsey, she's a nurse. And so I was able to put the story together based on what I could find, and then also consult with her and be like, is this logical? She could help me out there by tachycardia. So, and another thing about the story, you know, noted that it's a Brazilian man. So the source material was from this person's Facebook page where they were sharing their experience that I found. And the source material was not in English, but my colleague Guy Rambo, who lives in Brazil, was able to take the story, the text as is that they shared, and translate it on a human level versus what Google Translate could do. So it was kind of neat to have this, you know, it didn't make a whole lot of sense from Google Translate, and I couldn't have sort of quoted the story exactly because the Google Translate, you know, getting some things wrong and sometimes on a hilarious level. So special thanks to both my wife, Kelsey, and my colleague, Guy Rambo, for the consultation and the translation here. But this is a story. We're only a few days into the new year, and the Apple Watch is already being credited with saving someone's life. Talk about New Year, New You. Jorge Freire Jr. was returning home when his Apple Watch alerted him to an elevated heart rate. It turns out it was tachycardia, a heart rhythm disorder that can lead to heart failure, stroke, or even death. Freire shared his story of how his Apple Watch came to his rescue this week. This is quoting him. I was coming back home when my Apple Watch started buzzing. I checked the message, which read, "Your heartbeat is above 140 for over 10 minutes or something." When I checked the heart rate app, the surprise, 170 beats per minute. And I was just taking a walk. There was no way my heart rate could be that high. I went home and laid down for half an hour to see if my heartbeat would go back to normal. It stabilized at 160 beats per minute. I was having tachycardia. I ran to the ER. When I showed my heart rate on the watch to the hospital staff, they immediately sent me in to be checked. My blood pressure was super high, and I was indeed having tachycardia. That little watch was 100% correct. And then back to my story. What's tachycardia? Mayo Clinic describes the heart disorder as occurring when the heart beats faster than it should while resting. This is from Mayo Clinic. It's normal for your heart rate to rise during exercise or as a physiological response to stress, trauma, or illness, but in tachycardia, the heart beats faster than normal in the upper and lower chambers of the heart, or both, while at rest. Your heart rate is controlled by electrical signals sent across heart tissues. Tachycardia occurs when an abnormality in the heart produces rapid electrical signals that quicken the heart rate, which is normally about 60 to 100 beats per minute at rest. And back to the story. Mayo Clinic says the heart disorder can sometimes cause no symptoms or complications, but sudden cardiac arrest is a common risk when left untreated. In other words, not something I would want to leave to chance. Freire concludes that the Apple Watch Series 5 saved him after his doctor was able to treat his heart condition with medication. This is his story. Jumping to the end of the story, after doing all the exams, there was no sign of a heart attack. The doctor prescribed some medication to lower my heart rate, and I've been fine since then. I have a series of tests I'll have to do to check out what could have gone wrong. Doctors believe it was probably the stress of the end of the year, anxiety, or my stubbornness of not taking my high blood pressure medication correctly. I can say the Apple Watch saved me. I wasn't feeling a thing and could have spent hours with that tachycardia, which could have resulted in you know what. Because of this episode, I highly recommend anyone use this gadget. It can mean the difference between life or death, no kidding. And that's considering the ECG feature hasn't been released in Brazil yet. I hope it comes soon. I want to thank Apple and both doctors. So that's it. That's interesting. In this case, the ECG feature wasn't even a part of the situation because it can't be used in Brazil. And to go on, the gentleman who had this episode and experience emailed Apple CEO Tim Cook to express his gratitude directly, and he got the response back. I'm so glad you're fine now. Thanks for sharing your story with us. It inspires us to keep pushing forward. Best, Tim. So that's a really cool story. And within just a few minutes of posting the story, there were more people who responded by saying that they have had the exact same experience where their Apple Watch alerts them to an elevated heart rate while they're resting, and it leads them to the doctor when they might not have otherwise gone, and then there's something that needs to be treated that, you know, if left untreated could be dangerous. So you know, just another one of the amazing things that the Apple Watch can do. All right, let's take a break for a moment and thank our sponsor. This week, 9 to 5 Mac Watch Time is sponsored by Fitiv Pulse. Fitiv Pulse is the ultimate all-in-one fitness solution for iOS and Apple Watch. Whether you're a runner tracking your routes, a bodybuilder tracking your recovery, or you're just looking to improve your health, Fitiv Pulse gives you the tools you need to succeed. Download Fitiv Pulse on the Apple Watch to start recording your workouts and visualizing your real-time heart rate data with the Fitiv standalone Apple Watch app. Fitiv Pulse lets you stream your live heart rate data from your Apple Watch to your iPhone, or you can leave your iPhone at home for a truly untethered experience. Fitiv Pulse provides you with loads of customization options for a tailor-made workout tracking experience. Personalize your experience with features like live voice feedback, workout groups, personalized challenges, badges, and custom workout options. Experience an app that feels like it's been built just for you. Visit fitiv.com/promo and enter promo code FIT33, that's FIT33, for 33% off a year subscription. That's fitiv, FITIV.com/promo. Enter code FIT33 for 33% off a year subscription. Unlock your fitness with Fitiv Pulse. Okay, finally, I want to share some of the results from my experience of running 3 13.1-mile races with the Apple Watch Series 5 in different configurations. And this is from a story called 3 Half Marathon Apple Watch Series 5 Battery Tests with LTE Always on Display in Apple Music. And I'll share some sort of behind-the-scenes experiences, too, with this story. But here is the story. I ran 3 half marathons in November and December with the Apple Watch Series 5. Each 13.1-mile race was an opportunity to test how different modes affected both battery life and the running experience. Battery life results after running for about 2.5 hours varied in each configuration: 40%, 8%, and 51%. The first test took place at the Disney World Wine and Dine Half Marathon using this set of modes: untethered from the iPhone, connected to cellular network, logging the run with the workouts app, using a Bluetooth heart rate monitor, streaming Apple Music to AirPods Pro over LTE, and using theater mode with Do Not Disturb enabled. No iPhone, music streaming over the watch to cellular connection, and the display only turned on when manually engaged with a tap or a click of the crown. This was the most battery-intensive configuration, using a whopping 92% of battery life. Then I ran in the Stennis Space Center Half Marathon the following month using these modes: untethered from iPhone, connected to cellular, logging the run with the workouts app, using a Bluetooth heart rate monitor, and here's the change, streaming synced music, Apple Music, to Power Beats Pro. So the big change there is that it's still on cellular, but the music is saved to the watch. And the always on display is enabled, and I'm not using Do Not Disturb. So in that situation, sort of behind the scenes, and for the comparison, the first one was cellular is on, the screen's off entirely, as much as it can be, but the big taxing factor there is that there's music being streamed over the cellular connection to have music on the run for 2.5 hours. In the second scenario, the music has been synced to the watch ahead of time, cellular is still on, but so is the display. So you've got some big differences there. Back to the story. Still no iPhone, and the Apple Watch remained connected to the cellular network, but the key difference was that my music was already on the watch and not streaming. Pair that with the always on display lit the entire race, and the Apple Watch used 60% battery. Finally, I finished the season with the Mississippi Gulf Coast Half Marathon 2 weeks later. This time, I wanted to test Apple Watch Series 5 battery life with cellular disabled, while the always on display stayed active. And just a note here, this would be the same as if you had your iPhone with you. And I don't like to run with the iPhone. It's big and heavy, and it gets heavier every year. And I'm obsessed with just using the watch by itself. And here we go back to the story. The results were impressive. Apple Watch Series 5 used just 45% of its battery during the duration of the half marathon. This was untethered from the iPhone, disconnected from cellular, logging with the workouts app and using a Bluetooth heart rate monitor, and streaming synced music to Power Beats Pro with the always on display turned on and Do Not Disturb not enabled. So the race requires a bus ride from the finish line to the starting line, During that period, I was briefly connected to the cellular network without my iPhone to send an iMessage from the watch. That accounts for 4% being used before the race kicked off. Apple Watch Series 5 probably actually used less than 45% during the half marathon too. I turned cellular back on shortly after the crossing the finish line, but I didn't check battery life for another half hour until I was back to my iPhone. So you can kind of take that data and say less than 50% battery used over 2.5 hours for this run with cellular turned off, even though it's playing music that was synced on the watch to earphones wirelessly, and the always-on display was turned on. You can imagine if you turn the display off the entire time, you'd get even more. If you didn't use music, it would last even longer. And then finally, you know, using less than 50, actually probably less than 45%, you could probably go the rest of the way and do a full marathon at the same pace as long as you didn't slow down, you know, significantly and track the entire thing over like, you know, 4.5, 5 hours. So that's pretty interesting about the watch. That best case scenario is you could go 5 hours in those modes. Worst case scenario, you're on LTE, you're streaming music, your screen's off to save battery, but you only last, you know, for 8% left after the race for 2.5 hours. So very big differences. And back to the story, all in all, I was extremely satisfied with battery life performance from the Apple Watch Series 5, especially with the always-on display activated. As always, your mileage may vary, and for the better, if you finish the race faster. The next race on my calendar is the Star Wars Rival Run Half Marathon at Disney World in April. This will be my 7th 13.1-mile race, and if all goes to plan, the first time I've adequately trained ahead of time for the race. After that, I'm about 85% certain that I'll graduate to the full half marathon distance in December 2020, a new challenge possibly for a new Apple Watch. Stay tuned. So that takes me to some of my goals for this year. I'm not sure that the resolutions, they're not to resolve some issue, I feel, but they're definitely goals for the year where even though I've done 6 half marathons so far, I've, for one reason or another, whether it's getting too busy or moving and buying a new house and that being much more involved than anticipated, I've never taken like a 3-month training plan and stuck to it, or even like stuck to most of it. So this time for this Star Wars Rival Run half marathon at Disney World in April, starting this Monday, I've got a plan that every single day there is some activity, whether it's cross training or a run of a certain distance that I'm going to stick to. And because my training before has been so sporadic, it's just been running when I feel like it and doing whatever exercise, you know, outside of that, then this will be different, and I'm pretty sure that the results will be different too. So a few goals I have from this, you know, I want to beat my 2-hour and 12-minute finish time. The goal for these half marathons is usually to be under 2 hours, and so far I've ranged from 2 hours and 12 minutes to a little bit over 2.5 hours. So I've not yet broken 2:12 or even 2 hours, which is kind of what you just want to go for when you've actually trained for these kind of things. So that will be awesome if I can do that. I will keep you posted. Hold me accountable. And the other thing is that if I can do that, if I can finish the half marathon distance in under 2 hours, that's kind of the, you know, goal number one, beat 2:12, goal number two, beat 2 hours, goal number three, you know, show up and finish. Always good to have, you know, backup goals there so you can at least hit one of them with your effort. But if I do beat 2 hours, then that's where I say I'm 85% certain that I'll graduate to the full marathon. Something that happened this year is that my sister asked me for advice on running half marathons, and she wears the Apple Watch too. So she asked me, you know, specific races that she should look into. You know, are the Disney ones harder than other ones? And for me, yes. But, you know, sometimes you can find flatter courses with better hours of the day without traveling across the country. You know, just sort of giving her advice on half marathon races and how to train and prepare for them, even if I haven't yet in the right way. And just the fact that she was going to run her first half marathon this year, and my wife Kelsey ran not one but two for her first time in the fall and winter. This year, I feel like I've got to finally go from the half to the full, even if I don't finish in a wonderful time, or if it's very painful and hurts, just to say I've done it, because I have not even attempted it yet. So that's the next goal. But it's always been I want to finish the half and under 2 hours to get there. And I'd say if I even get close, then I'm gonna do it, because this is a race I'm training for in April, and the full that I want to do would be in December. So that's a lot of time to prepare. And a few more things that I'm sort of working on this year in terms of, you know, just goals is, one's kind of weird, and I want to discuss it with the guests in the future sometime, but this is a good place to mention it. The first time is that it's sort of anxiety related and just like a nervous tick, but something that I've done that has made me feel unsettled in the past is, it's part of how customizable the Apple Watch can be. You can do different bands, you can do different watch faces, and even within the same watch face, you can do different colors and different sets of complications. So there's a lot of time you can spend getting it just right. And that's awesome for different settings, you know, different goals, different ways you want to use the watch. And you can quickly change those, set up different ones, switch between them. But something I'm doing this year is I've picked one watch face and one watch band, and on the watch face, the same complications. And I kind of broke a streak of like changing something about the watch probably every day. And it just, this is my watch face. And it's the analog California watch face with the Arabic numerals, like a, you know, wristwatch that you're used to seeing. And the date is in the top left, the weather or temperature range in the top right. On the indices, the ticks around the clock, there's my heart rate, which is, I feel like it's really subtle right there. It's really cool. And then at the bottom left corner, there's activity rings with the number and the circles. And then there's the workout launch on the bottom right. So this has been my watch face. And by the way, it's with it's just the black version. So it's the black inner circle. And when it comes on from being in the rest mode, it doesn't look much different. So this has been cool. And of course, I've got the Apple Watch Series 5, the white ceramic model. And I'm just using it with the sport band, with the ceramic pen, which I feel like can sort of, you know, no matter where I am, can feel nice because it's a nice watch. But just not changing the watch face and different things about it, it has made me feel settled with the Apple Watch in a different way than, I would say, like 4 or 5 years of just tweaking it all the time. And it's made me, you know, this is how my wife used to set up a watch. She has her watch face set. She has the band set. And I think maybe most people are that way. But if you're someone like me who tinkers around a lot with it and it sort of, you know, takes up a lot of time, pick one favorite one. And I've even removed every other watch face from the lineup, so I can't switch easily. And I don't know how long this will go, probably until like watchOS 7 is a thing and there are new watch faces to use. But for now, this is working for me. So it's a neat thing. And finally, my other goal for the year is sort of the stereotypical, you know, New Year's resolution of losing weight and eating better and being healthier. But it's not that vague, because I have done that before, starting in the middle of the year or spring with the Apple Watch. And it was successful, but I also let go of the habit and, you know, went from 210 to 140 and then back again, you know, after a while. And this time I'm sort of taking lessons from that experience and applying them to doing it, not just try it and see what happens, but being very intent about it and having expectations, not just see where things go. And sort of another thing about it is, like, if you look at it as a resolution for some time in the year, it takes time. You know, it's not overnight. It's not 1 month's experience in most cases, at least in terms of like this size of a goal. And you don't want to start it in October. And it's actually very tough to start like in January, because it's not the routine time of the year where things are kind of, the holidays are over and you're getting back into your flow. But the way I'm doing it actually sort of surprised me at how soon the goal can be accomplished. So think about it. I've got between January and December to lose about 50 pounds again. And I probably need the whole year to do that. You know, so maybe in December I'll be like, you know, 30 pounds down or something. But I looked at it and it's like, if you lose 2 pounds per week, which is kind of the most you want to do, then I could be finished by July, which is really cool. Like, in that, as if it's like, you know, halfway through the year, and this the hardest challenge of the year is already finished. And then along the way, that goal will affect the half marathon and then especially the December goal of run a full marathon. So that's really cool. And I'm hoping to, you know, be able to report back, you know, every few weeks on this with progress, but it takes the work and the effort and the focus and dedication. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. If it doesn't happen, it's not the end of the world. I've ran many a race without losing this weight. So we'll see how it goes. But part of it, you know, again, you know, I've got a dietary goal. I've got, you know, a weekly goal of weight, and just on a daily level, you know, the trend is what matters. And so if you are in this direction, then if you mess up one meal, one day, one week, it's the greater trend that affects you. Just like if you eat healthy one time, it doesn't change your life. You know, it's got to be a trend. But using the activity rings as a guide every day, closing all three rings. It's been a while since I've done that, but I did do 1 year full before, and it made a big difference. You know, it's on those tough days, it gives you a reason to put in the work and maybe take you into a situation you might not be in otherwise. So for example, I'm not going to run every day. It is not part of the plan. It's not a good thing to do, I don't believe. And so, I found a base level activity that I can do every day that doesn't just benefit me, but benefits my dog Apollo. And so it's just take my dog Apollo on a brisk walk around the neighborhood. He will go as fast as I go. If I run, he runs. If I walk briskly, he does too. If we just kind of meander, we do it together. And that's what we've done mostly, is just sort of follow his lead. But now with this goal of closing my rings and actually having the walk, you know, qualify as exercise, we've extended where we walk every day. And even if it's 11:30 at night, it's going to get done, because it's not impossible like some bigger exercise might feel like. And so that one thing, finding a new baseline activity that's repeatable and doesn't just benefit me from closing the rings, but also, you know, he gets the workout. If you can find that, it's really, really compelling. And it might be that the other beneficiary factor there is that you get half an hour away from your phone, or half an hour to listen to a podcast, or half an hour to listen to music, or half an hour to take your iPad to the gym and like watch part of a movie, you know, and that's your movie time. But finding that it can help out a lot. And so I'm sort of having to look at my own sort of, you know, I hate to say it, but like life hacks, or like hack your brain to make this thing that's not enjoyable actually enjoyable. And then, you know, eventually it actually is enjoyable, because it's what you love to do and you hate to see yourself not do it. So that's going to be a big theme of this show this year. And the last thing I want to mention before we head off is Federico Vitici, who was a past guest on 9 to 5 Mac Watch Time of Mac Stories, invited me to talk in his Mac Stories weekly newsletter. And it was a really good interview. Vitici had some really thoughtful questions. And so if you're not already a subscriber, I highly recommend that you go to Mac Stories and become a Mac Stories Club member. I think it's $5 a month, and you get access to the full archive. But this isn't in Mac Stories Weekly newsletter. It's issue number 206 from Friday, January the 10th. It's just one question that he had, and I want to share the question and the answer, but go and subscribe to find the full interview. I had a lot of fun with it. I think the questions were very, very smart. But this is it, and then we'll head off. So his question is, the new year often coincides with resolutions and goals for things people want to accomplish over the next 12 months. What advice would you give to someone who's looking to start exercising and tracking their progress with the Apple Watch? So that's the question. And I've spoken a bit here about it, you know, already, but this was my answer. New Year's resolutions have a bum rap, but I'm personally a strong believer in leveraging symbolism to find inspiration. The date on the calendar can feel arbitrary, but there's truth in cycles, in this case, a full orbit around the sun. If you find yourself literally in the same place as last year, use the way that way it makes you feel to make a change. It's not important that it's January 1st either. It could be on your birthday, the first day of school, or a random day in April. Just leverage the calendar to hold yourself accountable, whether it's a weekly check-in or a quarterly self-review. I love the idea of carrying the energy around the new year throughout the year. try and fail and try and fail until one day you try and succeed. Even when you succeed, expect to fail again. Whether it's a weight loss journey or a fitness journey or both, the experience doesn't stop when you reach your goal. Life keeps going. And it's a journey. It's a fitness journey that you're embarking on with the Apple Watch. Then surround yourself with reminders that this is your goal. Adding your activity rings to your watch face, committing to a specific exercise a week ahead of time, and being vocal about your goals with friends and family, they each go a long way. Explore activity sharing with friends, activity challenges from Apple Watch, and each type of exercise in Apple's workout app. Connect things you love to working out. For me, it's music and exploring. It could be a podcast or an audiobook, or even watching a TV show or movie on the treadmill or elliptical at the gym. Trick your brain into loving what you resist by making those associations. Exercising is a personal time. It's personal time to yourself, something that we all treasure. Go easy on yourself. Evolution happens gradually over time, not all at once. Avoid taking on too many challenges all at once. Instead, try starting with an exercise that's easily repeatable every day. Then only consider dieting when you feel like exercising is becoming routine. Taking on too much all at once can end in resentment toward working out, eating healthy, and using the Apple Watch for positive change. Finally, remember that the Apple Watch won't work out for you. You have to make the change yourself, but it is capable of making you more focused on your goals and making those goals more attainable. I promise that. So I was really grateful to be included in Mac Stories Weekly in the interview. And there's a bunch more questions that I got to answer. It was really a treat. So go subscribe and check that out. And then the last thing I'll mention here is that if you were listening to this in January 2020, then there's still time to close your activity rings every day for 1 week to accomplish this current activity challenge on the Apple Watch. So you get the 2020 badge and sticker pack and bragging rights. So all you have to do is close all three rings for 7 days in a row. It's not a small accomplishment. It's not a small achievement. It's a big one, especially if it's not part of your routine. But hopefully it will be a Kickstarter for making this part of your routine more often than not. With that being said, that is the end of this week's 9 to 5 Mech Watch Time podcast. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ApolloZach. That's APOLLOZAC. And if you enjoy the show, please subscribe. Please share it on social media. Let more people discover it and subscribe. I really appreciate all the feedback so far. And I'll be back with a guest in 2 weeks. Bye, everybody.